Hi, everyone. I'm Lee Stabert, editor-in-chief of Keystone Edge. Welcome back to Prism, a podcast series produced in partnership with the Pennsylvania Council on the Arts. In these conversations, we're shining a light on the power of creativity in PA communities. Season 2's episodes are coming out monthly, so don't forget to subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts. That way, you'll never miss one. Are you ready to party? In this episode, we're talking about festivals. These spirited gatherings happen across Pennsylvania, and they do a lot more than just provide fleeting entertainment. Annual festivals have the power to become part of a place's fabric, to boost the local economy, and to proselytize for an area's innate charms. To spotlight these impacts and the continued role of arts and culture in community development, we're going to zero in on two festivals in particular. Two very different festivals. One takes place in a small town, the other in a city. One brings revelers to the site of an industrial powerhouse turned cautionary tale. The other attracts global artisans to one of the most remote parts of the state. One has a wide breadth of live music, the other, chainsaws. Despite those differences, I'm putting both these events on my PA bucket list. Thank you both for being here. Let's start with just some introductions.
Okay, I am Liz Bonney from Appalachian Art Studio in Ridgeway, Pennsylvania. And I am the event coordinator, whatever you want to call me, for the Ridgeway Chainsaw Carvers Rendezvous, which started in 1999 and is going strong. It is the largest chainsaw carving event in the world. It has sparked careers. I mean, when we started this, we started a movement, an art movement that is worldwide. It came about right about the time the internet came out. So it was kind of like this little magical thing that when you typed in Ridgeway Rendezvous, everything went ding, 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 and it all connected. And we've had hundreds of carvers from all over the world that come to Ridgeway. It has put our little town on the map. We're a town of 3,000 people. And in fact, we're going to celebrate our bicentennial this year. So it's kind of exciting. We'll have a little bit more going on, I hope. And we're in the early planning stages for this year. And I've already got over 100 carvers signed up. And it's going to be held the last weekend in April.
Wonderful. Okay, Cassie, let's hear from you.
Sure. I'm Cassie Hilgert, president and CEO of ArtsQuest. We are a nonprofit based in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania, probably best known for Music Fest, which today is the nation's largest non-gated festival. Last year, we drew about 1.3 million people from 45 states and 10 countries. We also run a visual arts center, and we run the Steel Stacks Arts and Cultural Campus, which is located at the base of the Bethlehem Steel Blast Furnaces. Each year we do about 4,000 concerts, classes, and camps, and about 56% of that is free to the public.
Wonderful. Well, I feel like we got to lay some groundwork first. I want to talk about your communities. I love that we have this balance of we have a rural town and we have a former industrial small city, really two very common types of municipalities in Pennsylvania. But why don't we start just, Liz, can you tell us a little bit about Ridgeway? I mean, you just said you're about to celebrate this big anniversary, but what's the character of the town? What does it feel like if someone was to drive through or walk through?
We are the gateway to the Allegheny National Forest, and it's a lumber baron community. Back in the early 1900s, there was 300 people in our community and 30 of them were millionaires. There's rivers and streams and hunting and fishing, and it's a lot of hiking, cross-country skiing. There's so many trails and things that you can do here. It is just really a great little community, and the people here really do strive to make it work for us.
Well, Cassie, describe Bethlehem for us. I think people probably have a lot of different impressions of Bethlehem depending on what brings them there, whether it's the university, whether it's for a concert, whether it's, you know, just enjoying the Lehigh Valley. But how would you describe Bethlehem?
Sure. Bethlehem has two distinct downtowns split by a river, which I think makes it unique. And on the one side of the river is the historic Moravian district, where we have a number of Moravian structures. Bethlehem was founded in 1741 on Christmas Eve. So you will find the colonial industrial quarter in the Moravian historic district. And then you cross the bridge and you come to the Southside Arts District. This is a gritty arts area that has a lot of entrepreneurial startups. It's got Lehigh University. Obviously, it has Steel Stacks, but it also is home to Touchstone Theater and Godfrey Daniels. So one town with two distinct personalities, and Bethlehem sits in the Lehigh Valley, which if you take the entire MSA of the area is about 750,000 people.
Wow. So let's talk about South Bethlehem and let's talk about steel stacks, because for people who aren't familiar with it or don't know about it, I mean, this is really a premier reuse project. This is sort of, I think, everyone's fantasy of how we would reuse our hulking and old industrial architecture. Can you just tell me a little bit about the roots of the project and how long it's been a setting for this type of activity?
Sure. We could talk an hour just on this, but
I know it's so amazing. Yeah. If people haven't seen what it even looks like, please just like Google image search steel stacks. It's very cool.
Bethlehem Steel was literally, and Bethlehem was a one company town for almost 100 years when Bethlehem Steel was in operation. And when it was pretty obvious that steel was going to not be here forever, there were a lot of different entities that had ideas of what to do with the 1800 acres that was Bethlehem Steel. You know, when that company went out of business, 20% of the city's tax base evaporated overnight. So how do you bring people back? How do you revitalize such an urban blighted area? So there were a number of different ideas, but the fact of the matter was that a steel plant sat empty for 15 years. We took just 10 acres of it and said, hey, we think we can bring people and foot traffic here to the South Side, much like what we had been doing with Music Fest since 1984 to the Historic Moravian District. Let's use arts and culture to get foot traffic. And when you get foot traffic, you have a small business that opens up, and then you have another small business. And that's how you get sort of organic growth, because you really couldn't imagine finding a major corporation that was going to relocate its world headquarters to an 1800 acre brownfield. So we went on our way there. But it is important to note that around that time, a TIF district was formed. That's called a tax incremental financing district. The public sector got behind this idea of not just steel stacks, but incentives for the entire site to be redeveloped. And right after that district was designated, gambling was legalized in Pennsylvania. And then suddenly an $800 million casino project dropped within that TIF district, which without that incentive and without the financing that spun off of that TIF, we would not be where we are today. But steel stacks itself as a concept was probably in progress for about 10 years. It took us that long to get the plans together and the fundraising, and we broke ground in 2010 and opened up the entire campus in April of 2011. So that's sort of a short time frame of how we got to steel stacks. But it's important to note that we had been running Music Fest since 84, and we'd also opened the Banana Factory, which is literally a mile down the street from steel stacks in 1993. So we had been watching what the arts were doing and its impact. And we thought, hey, let's take this idea and this concept of using the arts to revitalize urban areas and put it on steroids by taking it to a small portion of the largest brownfield under redevelopment in North America.
Well, it's interesting to hear you talk about, you know, there used to be this company town. Well, it was interesting hearing Liz talk about Ridgeway used to be this big center of the lumber industry and that there were millionaires and there was a lot of wealth there. And I'm assuming there was then a period of, please tell me a little bit about the history of Ridgeway, but oftentimes there was then a period of divestment or of financial struggles to try to figure out a life after, you know, this booming early 20th century industry.
Right. And from that, I do believe the Pennsylvania Wilds was born. It was a project when Governor Rendell was in office. He put some money into this area. So we now have, we brought the Elk back to Benazet, and we have the Clarion River. And, you know, I'm listening to Cassie speak, and it's the same kind of thing that we do right now. We finally have a permanent place to have the rendezvous. We've outgrown several locations. Beeler Lumber, you know, Mr. Beeler retired and he donated his place to the community. And it's now called Ridgeway Mills Campground. And we're in the process of having it developed into like an event center, a campground, you know, with camping facilities. And it's right along the river. And hopefully, you know, we'll be able to follow a little bit in your footsteps and have our community grow into a place where tourism is getting more popular. I mean, at first it was a little iffy with the locals who were afraid that it was going to turn into something big, but it's really sustained tourism that we're working on. And it seems to be in the last 15, 20 years that it's really coming about. And, you know, Ridgeway is a beautiful community. It borders the Allegheny National Forest, and there's a lot to do for families and fun and recreation. And that's kind of how we're marketing it.
So why chainsaws?
Well,
could you just tell us also a little bit about what this event actually entails? Like, what happens at this event? What are people coming to see, et cetera?
Okay, so probably 35 years ago, my husband said to me, I'm going to quit my job and become a chainsaw carver. And I actually cried and said, who's going to buy one of those? He and his twin brother started chainsaw carving because they had heard about it. And it's a phenomenal art form. I have eaten my words, trust me. It's a visual art. It's a performing art. And it is phenomenal. And when you come to our event and you see 100 people running chainsaws on logs and turning them into phenomenal art sculptures, it has gone from maybe a primitive art form to probably a contemporary art form at this point. Watching it over the years and watching it be sustainable and progressive and move along, it has sparked industry. It has sparked the chainsaw industry into creating different bars and adapting bars for the saws. And smaller saws now are available in battery form instead of gas. And it's just, you know, it has opened the world. And really, Rick and I have traveled the world with this art form. Rick was invited to Japan to teach and to Norway and to Scotland and in different communities. And it's really an American art form, which is probably one of the first art forms that we can lay claim to. I'm interviewed at the American Folk Art Museum in New York, and the curator was just a wonderful woman who sat with me for over an hour and said, basically, you know, you're not folk art. You're a contemporary art form at this point. And there's competitions all over the world now. When we started this, we were the only event that had chainsaw carving. And we thought 30 carvers were a lot of carvers. We found them on the internet. And from there, one of the carvers came from Germany, who was probably a little techie. So it was such a magical thing that he created a website for us. And that was back in 1999. And that website went viral. So at that point, whatever viral was, that's what it did. So it was kind of like, you know, somebody says like throwing a snowball off a hill and it just gathers as it rolls down the hill and becomes bigger and bigger and bigger. It's really a very magical event and it's a lot of camaraderie. Our event is not a competition. It is more like a symposium, a teaching, learning and sharing, because there's no actual structure or education to become a chainsaw carver. It's just pick up your saw and, you know, try it. So they learn a lot from each other. We used to do a lot of seminars. Our event used to be 10 days long. It used to be in the middle of February, which was really cold. And at one point it became 20 below zero. And I thought, we can't do this in February anymore. So we moved it to April and it seems to be working a whole lot better. It's still not great weather, but it's not 20 below zero. And I think that had a lot to do with its success too, doing it in the winter, because a lot of people had nothing. It was winter boredom. And it has grown exponentially from a little event that we thought was just a backyard fun.
You're listening to Prism on Keystone Edge in partnership with the Pennsylvania Council on the Arts, which believes that building stronger communities takes creativity. Learn more about how the council supports Pennsylvania's diverse creative sector at arts.pa.gov.
So let's talk about the economic impact of festivals like this. And Cassie, maybe we can start with you. You know, it's like a nice thing. People come hear live music, but there's a bigger picture, correct, in terms of the trickle down of bringing people into a community. I mean, how would you quantify the economic impact of Music Fest as this yearly big event?
Sure. So Music Fest takes place for 10 or 11 days in August. It starts the first Friday, Thursday or Friday in August. We have 16 stages that are spread across both the Historic Moravian District and the Southside Arts District, and we will have 500 performances across those 16 stages. Only one is ticketed. The rest are free. And we always started Music Fest as a way to attract visitors in an authentic way to Bethlehem. And one of the ways to do that is to engage the local community. So Music Fest today has an economic impact of $87 million over 10 or 11 days for the city. What does that mean? That means hotel stays. That means tent rentals. That means restaurants that are benefiting from this. We have 40 food vendors that help to feed millions of festival patrons. And those vendors, some of them can make 20% of their annual revenue in 10 or 11 days. So festivals reach far beyond the actual event, because you've got expenses that go out in the community to set it up. You've got investment in the community to run it. And then you've got the investment in the community as you go through teardown. You know, we estimate we have over 1,000 FTEs involved with Music Fest during setup, running, and teardown. That's in addition to the 1,200.
And that's a full-time employee, correct?
Yeah,
We take get into lingo here.
Yes, full-time equivalent. And then on top of that, we have 1,200 volunteers, 12 of whom have been with us all 40 years. So there is serious community investment. And why is that important? When you can showcase a town in an authentic way using festivals, you can turn people on to, maybe this is a place that I want to settle down. Maybe this is a place that I want to start a business. I like being around these cultural amenities. And that's becoming more and more important these days when every community is desperately competing for workforce and talent. And when someone has more flexibility today to pick where they live, because they may work somewhat remotely, all of us have to have cultural amenities that make us competitive in a global workforce environment.
Yeah.
Well said. I agree.
And I know the PA Wilds, just from covering them, that there is a big pitch to remote workers in the PA Wilds to try to get, I know there was a program ran last year where you could come get free housing for a couple months if you were working remotely over the summer. I think this idea of communities having enough confidence to say, we believe if people come here that they'll like what they see.
I can't tell you how many houses have sold to people that have come here from other places and they use it as their summer homes. You know, and it's fun to watch all the changes and all the things that happen. And again, you know, we've had new businesses open, we've had more tourism business type things open. And, you know, the Rendezvous has just sparked so many people to go to rural areas and appreciate what goes on there.
And how do you think it's impacted the brand of the town? Do you feel like this event has become synonymous with Ridgeway? When you're doing these travels, especially around the state, and you mention where you're from, does this change the way people respond?
Yes, it does. And I have a little story about that. Our mayor years ago was on a cruise. And this was before the people in town really, really embraced it. You know, at first they thought, oh, chainsaws, oh, it's scary, you know, all that fun stuff. He was on a cruise somewhere and they were asking each other where they were from. And he said, well, I'm from Ridgeway, Pennsylvania. And somebody on that cruise said, oh, that's where that wood carving event goes on. And our mayor just about fell over. He just couldn't believe that it was that renowned in other places. He came back and became an avid supporter and helper in helping us move it forward.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think for Bethlehem, you know, whenever we're talking about our programming, we're talking about Bethlehem. And now the city has become a city of festivals. I don't think there is a weekend that there isn't some kind of fest going on, which I think is a great outgrowth of what we hope we began with Music Fest. So, you know, whenever we're talking about Arts Quest and its impact, it is also bringing up Bethlehem. We are, you know, hand in glove with the city as we do planning, and they buy into it as well. I think one of the biggest things we point to is SteelStax has won both the Rudy Brunner Award for Urban Revitalization Excellence and the Urban Land Institute's Gold Award for Urban Revitalization. And only two other cities in the country have won both of those, and that would be Boston and San Francisco. And I don't think Bethlehem ever thought they were going to be in that sentence with Boston and San Francisco. But why is that important? People want to come to these areas that have been revitalized and reused. Developers are looking for awards like that because it signifies there is a public-private partnership happening here that is thoughtful and is ingrained and has momentum. So beyond just the day of the programming, however short or long it is, the impact from festivals and just arts and culture in general can lift the overall economy.
Yeah, and I think it's also interesting to expand our vision of what we think of as historic Pennsylvania beyond just colonial stuff, beyond a Victorian home, to these old industrial spaces, which are a different type of history and also a different type of beauty, but are really stunning in their own way.
I agree with that. In fact, when Mr. Beeler retired and donated his property to the borough, it's 22 acres of concrete and camping areas. And, you know, I feel like we're a lot behind you, Cassie, but we also received the Governor's Award for Creative Community in the Arts in 2009. And, you know, and I see us doing a lot more events. I see us kind of following your footsteps. I really am appreciating hearing you speak because it gives me a lot of hope and a lot of direction and knowing that our community is planning a lot more events. They're planning a big music festival in the summer. And I mean, I know we're small, but maybe on a scale, we're kind of following where you are. And I kind of like that whole idea.
Well, as it's a mutual admiration society, I would say that we are far along. But the fact of the matter is we had more resources and more history. And what you basically did was started something literally out of nothing. I think that is a great demonstration of the true power of art. We always talk about art as a quality of life. I think we have learned through COVID, it is a necessity for life.
And when you're married to an artist, it is definitely a necessity.
Yes.
So yeah, it's been a wild ride, let me tell you. It's just been an incredible journey. I've been promoting arts in this community for over 40 years, and it's been a challenge. It really has.
It is a challenge, but I think in this day and age, and while we are not that far out of COVID, and we certainly haven't felt the full ramifications, certainly one of the things we've seen from Music Fest to Chris Kindlemart, which is our holiday market we run over 5 weekends, this need for authenticity and connection is stronger than ever. We can sit on our couch and buy whatever we want, and it's on the doorstep the next day, but we're not talking with people, we're not interacting with them, and we want authenticity. And I think the most important thing is tapping into what is most authentic about your area. People want to experience that. They want to connect to it. Like we did with the blast furnaces, we were early proponents of tearing those down because they were a symbol of failure back in the day. It was the largest bankruptcy in the United States at the time. And why would you want to look at something that failed? But we, like with much of our programming, went back to our roots, and there was a trip to Germany, and they saw how they had taken an old steel site and turned it into a cultural district. And that was our aha moment of coming back to say, my goodness, this could be our skyline, these 200-foot blast furnaces. It is a reminder of what we were, and we use the arts to showcase who we are going to be. And, you know, I consider those blast furnaces the largest public art in Bethlehem.
Oh, that's amazing. That's wonderful. I like that.
So, Liz, looking to the future for a place like Ridgeway, which, you know, you're talking about, it's a town in the PA Wilds, which is a region I think that is experiencing a lot of growth. This is a town that I think when I hear the PA Wilds is one of the top couple towns that people seem to mention. And I'm sure it's probably a credit to your event that this has really sort of risen to the top. What's the future and how can you build on this energy, this creative energy, to make sustainable economic and cultural success in this town?
Well, you know, I always say that the Rendezvous itself has its own energy. It has its own life. I get to guide it here and there and move it along. And it's always a challenge to do better, to keep it safe, to keep it moving and keep it growing. But the challenge itself, I think the art form speaks for itself, and it just keeps moving and growing. And, you know, and sometimes I tell people I just get to touch it sometimes because it's a force of its own. And it brings people together. It brings camaraderie. And, you know, when you have that much energy flowing through your community and your event, you have a winner, and it makes things happen, and it creates its own. I hear stories. I mean, I'm probably the last one that knows what really goes on in Ridgeway during the Rendezvous, because all I do is run around and make sure everything is still going. But I hear stories that just blow me away. Like one time a group of Japanese carvers came and they got as far as Detroit and they confiscated their saws and threw them in the garbage. And, you know, the word went out, and some women that worked at the airport went to every dumpster at the airport and found their saws and sent them to the event. And it's just, you know, there's magic everywhere when stuff like that happens. And it just creates more and more, and it's sustainability in a sense that something we don't really can't quite understand. It's art.
Yeah. Well, Cassie, what's the future story of Bethlehem? What do you hope is the future associations when someone, you know, in 10, 20 years, hears Bethlehem, PA, what are they going to think about? And how can events like yours be part of that narrative?
Well, we are into our third generation of festival goers. We have had a number of people get married at the festival, get engaged. So my hope in the years to come, there's a pretty big movement right now with another nonprofit, Historic Bethlehem Museum and Sites, to get Bethlehem on the World Heritage List. And if we get that designation, I think we're going to be opening Bethlehem up to an entirely new world, literally, of tourists. And my hope is that we will continue with our programming to find new festivals and events that tap into the part of the communities we are not currently serving. Bethlehem is a rapidly changing town, like a number of towns and cities are. We have a growing Latino population. We have a growing Asian population. And we need to make sure that all of those communities feel represented. So while Music Fest is our flagship, we do have 10 other festivals, and we have a Music Fest cafe that has 110 concerts a year inside and a two-screen cinema. But we still have a lot of opportunity here to engage the community to make sure they feel represented. When someone feels represented, they feel safe. And when they feel safe, they feel their full self and will bring their full creative self to that community to impact it. So in some ways, our mission to increase access to the arts for all will never be met. It will always be a journey, as there will always be those communities that are not being represented in what we're doing today, but that's what makes tomorrow exciting.
So now I'm assuming we've convinced every single person listening to this podcast that they have to go to the Chainsaw Rendezvous and they have to go to Music Fest. I would like each of you just to play tour guide for a second. And if someone is coming to your community, what are a few things that they should make sure that they do to really understand the local experience?
Okay, when someone calls me and says, I want to come to your event, but I don't know where to stay or what to do, my first question to them is, what are your expectations? What do you like? Because they can stay in Benazet and view the elk and stay in, you know, wonderful places. It's about a half hour from Ridgeway, or they can stay in local hotels, bed and breakfasts. They can stay in lodges that are situated throughout the forest. And I mean, we fill lodging from Ridgeway all the way down through Clarion and Cook Forest and, you know, places that are like an hour and a half away. And people come and love the full experience. You know, they love the fact that in Benazet, they can stay in a place where an elk can come up to your window while you're sitting in your hot tub or something. It's just off the grid in a sense that it has nothing to do with being in a city. And it has nothing to do with the way that most people live their lives. It's kind of a unique experience, and people come back. They like it.
If you're going to come to Music Fest, I would recommend that you either try to book a room at the Historic Hotel Bethlehem or at Wind Creek. I would suggest you wear very good walking shoes, and I would start either in the Historic Moravian District or the Southside Arts District. You need to go pick up a Music Fest mug. Each year we have an artist design the poster for Music Fest, and that poster goes on the mug. We sell about 30,000 of those a year. They're collector's items, and we will refill any year's mug. But you got to pick up your mug, and then you need to get the app, and you just start strolling. You're going to walk across stages and hear every genre possible. You are going to experience food from all over the world. So come with loose shorts and good walking shoes, and you're probably going to turn the corner and discover your next favorite band. But you will never see the kind of variety at a festival as you will see at Music Fest when it comes to sheer volume with those 500 performances. You know, we get about 1,500 artists that apply to play those free stages each year, and there's only 500 spots. And then as the sun goes down, the entire vibe of this festival changes and the energy gets amped up, you know, on a 12, on a scale of 1 to 10. And there is a level of community and excitement that you feel among that crowd. So that festival runs every day, just about from 12 to 11. And there is something for everyone here.
Wonderful. Well, I think we're about to wrap up. Is there anything else either of you would like to share about your communities or maybe even what being involved in this type of intersection of arts and economic development has meant to you personally? And has it changed how you view your own hometown?
I have grown tremendously doing this event. It goes far beyond anything that I ever expected of myself in the sense of what I can and cannot do. I have pulled myself through things that I've never dreamed of doing like this. I mean, I would never have been, I've been on TV, I've been doing podcasts, I do amazing public relations things that, you know, I thought I'd sit behind a desk the rest of my life. So this is like the most enjoyable thing I have ever done in my life. And I love it.
For me, I've really experienced the power of community. I certainly was a big believer that the arts were key economic drivers for revitalization. I'm a fanatic when it comes to making sure we have a seat at the table next to manufacturing and construction and other industries to be taken just as seriously. But beyond that, when you are here for Music Fest, when it is getting set up and you have got all of these food vendors, all of these crafters, all of these stages going up, 1,200 volunteers and our staff working together, you feel an energy, an investment, and an ownership by this community, which to me gives me goosebumps. And And it's something I love to experience. And you have to be very comfortable in anarchy. And when you ask that many volunteers and others in the city and the law enforcement to get involved, you must let them own part of that festival to run it. And that can be scary. But boy, when you let go and you see the magic that erupts from that, it is pretty special and it never gets old.
Perfectly said.
Wonderful. Thank you both so much. I hope people are literally getting right now, they're booking tickets, they're plotting out their travel plans, because I think, you know, you've sold me.
Well, I hope you both come to the rendezvous.
You've sold me on it, Liz. I look forward to it.
That's it for our latest episode of Prism. If you have thoughts on the conversation you just heard or ideas for what we should cover in upcoming episodes, please visit our website, keystoneedge.com, and reach out. You can also message us on Facebook or on Instagram. Until next time.